Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The changing workforce in America. Liz Shuler speaking out. Tennessee Labor Federation joining striking Kellogg's workers. And today on the show, the latest from the Ohio Federation of Teachers and the do's and don'ts when supporting a strike. Welcome to the Tuesday, October 19th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off with one of our regulars, Melissa Cropper, who is president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, one of the many proud sponsors of this show we call America's Workforce. oh.aft.org is our website. First thing she's going to talk about is the backpack bill. What's the backpack bill? Well, it's House Bill 290. This would essentially gut public education by providing a universal voucher to all students in the state, regardless of income or the performance of their local schools. That's right. Unlike Ohio's five existing voucher programs, says Melissa, this legislation, if passed, would go to students who are homeschooled and students who attend non-chartered, non-public schools, which pretty much opens the door for waste and fraud. Needless to say, the OFT is very much against this legislation. How far will it go? Oh, we will find out shortly from Melissa. Student loan forgiveness. This is a biggie. More than 42 million Americans, including many members of the American Federation of Teachers, parent union of the OFT, now owe $1.7 trillion in student debt. Student debt is more than credit card debt in this country. It's been like that for a long time. Well, here's the deal. Since 2016, the AFT has been working to address and abate the student debt crisis. 2 years ago, the AFT sued then Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos for mismanaging the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, leaving tens of thousands of borrowers with nowhere to turn when their relief was denied. Now, keep in mind, this is a program that was set up by George W. Bush back in 2006. The whole idea here was to attract people into nonprofit positions, teachers, public sector jobs, things of that nature. In fact, my daughter is involved in a nonprofit. She does crisis intervention, and she's in this program as well. And there's been a number of reports over the years showing how people got into the program, military members. Military members, good example. And after 10 years, your debt is supposed to be gone. They found out just the opposite. They owed more after the 10 years because of the poor accounting going on. And Betsy DeVos wanted to dump the program altogether. Well, listen to this. Earlier this month, the AFT reached a settlement. Case was Weingarten versus DeVos. Weingarten is Randy Weingarten, president of the AFT. The Department of Education, led by the current secretary, Miguel Cardona, agreed to work with the union to ensure relief for the many borrowers who relied on that promise that I just talked about. Millions of people, educators, public employees, school staff, higher education staff, a lot of people involved in that. And depending on time, we'll also touch on ECOT, that's the Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow. This was a internet charter school that was shut down by the state, and they are on the hook for $60 million. I don't know if the state's going to get that money back. We'll talk to Melissa about that. Chris LaGrange, editor of the UCOM blog, will be joining us later in the show. We've had him on a number of times. It has not been as of late, and saw one of his posts, which was quite fascinating. As you know, there's a lot of strikes going on in America, well over 180, I believe. And he put together a column called The Do's and Don'ts of Supporting a Strike. And I thought this was rather helpful. We got a lot of listeners coast to coast, and maybe there's a strike going on in your community you want to support, but you just don't know how. Number one, Chris says the best way you can help is to walk a picket line. While this might not always be possible if a strike is happening in your neck of the woods, remember, these are men and women from your community, and giving them community support will not only increase their spirit, it will also show the bosses that the union and not the company has the support in the community. If you are in a union or community group, try to organize a trip to a picket line. You know, strength in numbers. Think about that. And we're going to touch on all of these. Help feed and take care of them. Strikes are expensive, both for the union and for the workers. While unions have strike funds to help provide for some money, it's not very much. For example, Kellogg's workers will get just $105 a week in strike pay. I'll talk more about them in a minute. Also, keep in mind, workers typically lose their health insurance when they go on strike. And these are the tactics used by the company to more or less starve them so they go back to work. So if you can donate food, essential items, water, coffee, pizza, donuts, ponchos for when it rains, hand warmers in cold weather areas. Another key thing to remember, since we're heading for the holidays when a strike happens, it isn't only dad or mom that's on strike, it's the whole family. Keep that in mind. Boycott. Rule number one of a strike is don't cross a picket line, which means do not enter a business with a strike going on in front of it. That's a good way to support it. Another way to support the workers, consumer boycott. Find out what brands you should not buy to hurt the company economically. Amplify the strike message. Coordinate a letter to the editor. Let the public know the real story from the picket line. And I like this one. Make scabs live a life of hell. I love Chris. He says, we're not saying anything illegal here, but it's important to let scabs know that you don't approve of them taking union members' jobs. While many will be managers who are trying to plug the holes until the strike is over, many companies will bring in non-union workers from out of state to fill those jobs. So make them uncomfortable. Let me put it that way. So Chris LaGrange will cover that and more as our second guest on the show. I got to hand it to Liz Shuler. Ever since she took over the reins of presidency of the AFL-CIO, she's been on a media tear. Saw her on Good Morning America the other day, CNN, and she's talking about what's going on. People are quitting their jobs, and those that are on the job are going on strike. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, Liz talked about it to one of the reporters at CNN. Let's listen here on America's Workforce.
So I think this is about basic fairness and respect, and along with pay, because we do have a shortage of good jobs in this country. The inequities we're seeing in the economy, where we talk about inequality, where some folks are doing really well, and the 99% are still struggling and having to work one, two, three jobs just to get by. What we need now is good, secure, sustainable job.
So how far are the unions willing to go? And do you expect we'll see more of these walkouts?
Well, no one likes to go on strike. Let's just be clear that we have a long tradition in the labor movement of working at a collective bargaining table across the table from management in a symbiotic way. And only until we get pushed to a limit where basic fairness and equity are violated, and you can't just continue to see wages go down, healthcare benefits taken away, retirement security disappear without saying enough is enough. And that's where we are. We're at a breaking point. And so unless we get corporate America to wake up and say, you know what, labor is our most valuable asset, we should be investing in it. We shouldn't continue this race to the bottom that we're seeing in the economy and be responsive to what we're hearing from workers.
Have you been in touch with the administration, with the president over these issues?
Absolutely. And the Biden-Harris administration is supportive of working people in this country, investing in the working people of this country. And in fact, the legislation that's pending in Congress now is going to create up to 4 million jobs per year if we can get it across the finish line. And so the administration is very much concerned with the economic fairness that working people are facing, and that we need to be investing in working people.
Again, that's Liz Shuler speaking on CNN over the weekend about what's happening in America. People quitting their jobs and those who are working going on strike. Many strikes going on right now. Speaking of which, after years of failed negotiations, flight attendants at Piedmont Airlines, which is a subsidiary of American, are currently taking a strike authorization vote that could lead to the Association of Flight Attendants, which is part of the CWA, being released to strike if those talks remain deadlocked. These members help keep the carrier flying through COVID-19 and have been on the front lines of dealing with difficult flying conditions. Oh, yeah. Unruly passengers. Talked about that on the show quite often. However, despite all that, management's latest proposal includes only tiny raises with significant health care cost increases, meaning many flight attendants could take home less than they do today. Let's go to Tennessee. Some 1,400 members of the bakery, confectionery, tobacco workers, and grain millers at Kellogg's are taking a stand on the future of their work by going on strike at four different cereal plants. Now, one of the plants is in Memphis, Tennessee, where members of the local 252G have been on strike since the 5th of this month. Well, members of the Tennessee AFL-CIO Labor Council joined the workers last week on the picket line. A.J. Starling is the secretary treasurer of the Tennessee Labor Fed, and he said, "I've been in the labor movement for a long time, and what I saw earlier last week was truly something special. The energy and solidarity on the picket line in Memphis is powerful. It truly feels like one big family that's gathered to support one another. Community leaders, elected officials, and countless union members have all stopped by to show their support for the local and all Kellogg's workers who are on strike around the country. At a time when the company is making record profits, management's ongoing attempt to enact a two-tier wage system and divide the workforce is inexcusable. These hardworking employees deserve to be treated with dignity, respect, and fairness on the job. And as I said, all 60,000-plus members of the Tennessee AFL-CIO Labor Council are standing in solidarity with the bakers, Local 252G, and will continue to do so for the duration of the strike." Again, that's A.J. Starling, Secretary Treasurer of the Tennessee AFL-CIO Labor Council. We have to take a break. When we come back, Melissa Cropper on behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That would be AWF Union Podcast, and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is the same, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Been with us a long time. I'm talking about Melissa Cropper, who's president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers. She's also secretary treasurer of the Ohio AFL-CIO, and she is one busy lady. And today we are going to talk about the backpack bill. That's one of the things we're going to talk about. And this is pretty scary legislation. Hey, Melissa, welcome back. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you for having me on.
HB 290. I got to hear from you. I did read part of what you sent me at the beginning of the show, but this sounds like, what, the end of public education in the state of Ohio? Is that pretty accurate?
It has the potential to be the end of public education in the state of Ohio. They teased us with this back in the spring, back when budget talks were going on, and talked about this concept, but then we've seen this, they've reintroduced it this fall. And basically, this is a bill that instead of funding schools, would fund individuals. So every student would be eligible, K-8 would be eligible for a $5,500 voucher. Every student 9 through 12 would be eligible for a $7,500 voucher, and they can take that money wherever they want to take that money to go to school, including being homeschooled or non-chartered, non-public school, et cetera. There are no exceptions to where this money can be spent.
So where is the bill in the legislature right now?
It has not had its first hearing yet, so it still needs to have sponsor testimony, and that's when we'll see all the official language about it to see how horrible, what all the horrible details are around it. We know it's a really bad bill, and then we'll see where it goes from there after the sponsor testimony. But as of right now, it's not scheduled yet.
And just to be clear here, up until now, the way the vouchers have worked, there's folks that live in at-risk areas, poorer communities, and the whole design here was to be able to use state tax money and go to a different school. Maybe the school in that area was not performing properly. So that idea is kind of out the window. This is across the board then, right?
Correct. This is across the board. Like you said, we already have five different voucher programs in Ohio, including one that makes anyone eligible up to 300% of poverty eligible for a voucher, students who have autism, like I said, five different programs. But this would basically make every single student in the state eligible for one of those vouchers, including people who are already going to private school or already homeschooling. So what's going to be interesting is to see what the price tag is on this once they finally, once LSC gets it and looks at all the data and what they put when they put out their fiscal notes. Because our estimation is it's going to be at least a $2 billion price tag on this.
And you are reporting that this will open up all kind of opportunities for waste and fraud. And I want to engage the ECOT, to the Electronic Classroom of Tomorrow. I think this is a good example here. This is a internet charter school. You and I have talked about this many times.
Absolutely.
On the show in past years. And I just read recently they're on the hook for, what, $60 million.
Correct.
And I don't even know where they're going to get this money. The money is probably all gone. But can't we just use that as an example going forward on something like this, saying, you know what, this is probably not a very good idea for taxpayers, right?
Right. One, it destabilizes your public school, where 90% of our students currently go to school. But it destabilizes things in a way that you can't predict what your future funding is going to be, because you don't know from year to year who's taking a voucher, who's not taking a voucher, who decides to pull out in the middle of the year because they're unhappy about something and take their money and go somewhere else. So when you destabilize your public school system, of course, it has all kinds of impact on your community and the economy. But beyond that, like you said, there's so much potential for fraud in this. We saw it with ECOT. We've seen it recently with Bishop Sycamore, a big story that was a football team playing on ESPN. A place like that would be eligible. What they currently, under this situation, our current situation, they did not receive any public funding, but under the new backpack bill, a school like that would receive funding. So anybody could open up a school, a student could take a voucher and go to that school.
Wow, scary stuff. I have to ask you, is this like model legislation? Are they doing this in other parts of the country?
Oh, yeah.
And I bring that up. Yeah, okay. Because
West Virginia, Florida, the typical suspects that we seem to like to follow when it comes to bad legislation on education. Yes.
So is this part of the right-wing campaign pretty much to get rid of public education altogether? I mean, there's a lot of big money groups out there, like the Americans for Prosperity, the Koch
right.
brothers, that are meddling in state politics. So this is part of that?
Right. This is part of the right-wing strategy to defund public schools. It's right out of the Betsy DeVos playbook when it comes to public schools versus private schools. We saw, when she was serving under Trump as the Secretary of Education, she made it very clear that she was for privatization of our school system. And this is from the same vein as where Betsy DeVos comes from.
Melissa, it's interesting you brought Betsy DeVos up, because I know you wanted to talk about this settlement between Randy Weingarten and Betsy DeVos. And apparently this has to do with the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. And I saw when this story broke, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago. I'd like to get your perspective, because there's some explaining here. Apparently this is a program that was started back by, I believe it was 2006 under George W. Bush, and it was designed to attract people into public service jobs, which typically pay less.
Right.
Benefits are good, but they pay basically less. And we're talking teachers, firefighters, police, higher education staff. My daughter's involved in this program as well. She works at a organization that does crisis intervention, and she's involved with the courts. So talk to me about this. Apparently this has been going on for a couple of years, right?
Right. Like I said, this program was put in place to help people who go into public service. However, 98% of people who've applied for the forgiveness have been denied. So that's why a few years ago, AFT decided they were going to tackle this problem. And they found five people that we sued the Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education over how the loan was being how loans were being discharged, and we got a successful settlement just a week or so ago. So now the eight people who filed the charges all are going to have their loans forgiven. But on top of that, anyone who has applied and been denied can now have their loan application reconsidered. And we have to, it's really important to point out that the people who were denied were, for the most part, people who had been misinformed about how to apply for the loan. So they would talk to people from like Navion or one of these other student loan providers. Someone would put them into the wrong loan program. They could be in that program for 5, 6, 7 years and then find out, oh, no, you are in the wrong program. You're not going to get your loan forgiven. All those people now have the opportunity to have their loans reviewed and reconsidered. And anyone who still is denied will have very specific details on why they are denied and how they can become eligible. So this is a huge, huge settlement for not just our members, but for anybody who is in public service, who has a large loan. Everyone can have this opportunity now to have that looked at again and have that loan discharged.
As I recall, I think DeVos wanted to dump the program altogether. Do you know anything about that?
She certainly made it even more difficult and didn't do anything to try to help the 98% of people who were denied. So again, this is the difference that elections make when you have someone who is president of the United States who believes in public service and appoints a secretary of education who mm-hmm. believes in public education and in public service. And I also would be remiss if I didn't point out that our own Richard Cordray from Ohio works in that public service forgiveness department now. So again, we've got an advocate there right there from Ohio who is working on this and making sure these loans are forgiven. And I think it's also important to point out this is why unions are so important. It was a union, it was the American Federation of Teachers who stepped up and said, this is wrong, and we're going to help our members. And in the process of helping our members, has helped thousands of other people get their loan forgiven, too.
I was not aware that Cordray was involved. Is he, like, running the program right now? What position does he have?
He took a position with that specific department within the Department of Education back in late spring, early summer, I believe.
Good. I have his contact information. I'd like to get him on the show to talk more about this. 60 Minutes did a story on this a couple of weeks ago, and they had five or six members of the military who used the public loan forgiveness program to get their education. And they were all attorneys. one of them had like $150,000 in debt. And he thought at the end of the 10 years, this was 10 years later, that it would be taken care of. Mm-hmm. Instead, the interest accumulated and he owes $250,000. Mm-hmm. And they had another individual who was paying and paying and paying. And now his kids are going to college. So he's paying his debt and he's paying for college for his own kids. He's getting them into a couple of different programs. So it's really scary. And it was a promise that was not kept. It's really sad. But again,
we've heard those stories over and over again. I mean, the same with the plaintiffs in this case, people who are 8 years in, you know, thought that they were on the right track, and then were told, no, sorry, you're not, and then owe double what they thought they're going to owe. This is just life-changing. It really is life-changing for people who are looking at $100,000, $200,000 of debt that they feel like they can never get out from under. Now they can get out from under it.
It's hard to believe, too. 42 million Americans now owe $1.7 trillion in student debt. That's a lot of debt, a lot of debt. All right, Melissa, we're going to wrap it up on that note. Melissa Cropper, president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. You could also check them out on Facebook, OFT Union, Twitter handle, OFT Advocate, and her personal Twitter is mcropper1. Melissa, always a pleasure having you on. Good news there. Once again, unions make a big difference in America, and this isn't a good example of that. So you take care. Keep up the fight. We'll talk to you next month.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Chris LaGrange, the UConn blog, the do's and don'ts in supporting a strike. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after taking Zantac? If you have taken Zantac and have cancer, you may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And of course, you can check us out on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate a five-star rating. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Area Labor Federation. Let's go to line number two. Have not talked to this gentleman for a while, and I'm very loose when I say gentleman. Chris LaGrange is his name, and he operates the UCOM blog. Do check out his website. Very well done. UCOMblog.com is his website, and he's here to talk about the do's and don'ts of supporting strikers, and there's a lot of strikers in America today. Hey, Chris, how we doing, brother?
Brother, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, 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 good. Hanging in there. Still recording the show at Ironworkers Local 17 in the midst of this crazy pandemic. And guys are really good. The coffee's great. And we appreciate their hospitality. Now, let's talk about UCOM blog before we get into your article here. Give us a rundown. It's been a while since you've been on the show. Talk to me about your website.
Sure. And so UCOM blog was a crazy idea we put together a few years ago, and then became the number one most read daily news service for organized labor and the progressive movement. And I'm very happy to announce that we are the second most read daily news blog in the country for news about working people and the organizations that represent them. 1.8 million unique readers a year, and I'm very proud of it. I got a hardworking staff, and this news isn't just something I come up with and my staff. It's the news that guys and gals at like Local 17 and the Northeast Labor Fed. I mean, these people put out news, and we cover it, and we push it out there, and people want to know. And I think that we've helped the Americana union movement understand that you have power when you work together and collectively bargain, and we're excited that we're heading in a new direction. In fact, Flash, we are a credible source to Yahoo News, Yahoo Business, and many credible news sources across the country because we don't put out crap. We put out the facts that matter.
That should be your logo. We don't put out crap.
That's right. You know what? If I put that on a t-shirt, I'll send you an invoice.
Well, I'm glad you said that because there is a lot of crap out there. I mean, the internet has opened up the floodgates for misinformation, disinformation.
Oh my God! Yeah, did you watch I was watching the Packers game. I'm a huge Packers fan. I know there's a lot there in your neck of the woods, and I saw an ad put out by the conservatives blading Biden, saying now he defunded the police and now he wants to go after Medicare. It was a complete lie. And my 11-year-olds are like, Daddy, that made no sense. I'm like, yep, well, that's the world we're living in, kids. So
Yeah. If you say it enough, people will believe it. That's the crazy
thing.
That's
right. You know?
Hey, one more question here. Are you still doing your weekly podcast? Is that happening?
Yes, I am. Yeah, UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange is sporadic at the least. You're very consistent. That's why the American Union Movement loves you, Flash. And we go live when we can. But we are changing formats. We're going to be creating something called You Conversations with me, Chris LaGrange, and we're going to be interviewing key people in the union movement and in politics. And we're going to go live still every Thursday around noon. And it's always work, Flash. You know, people listening and loving your show probably understand that. A lot of people don't, but we get major traffic with our blog. We get a pretty consistent audience with our show, and we depend on folks like you to make sure that we are on message, my friend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I love your show. I think your show is one of the best in the country, to be honest with you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, we work hard at it. And it's been very consistent. I mean, this show started in 1993, hard to believe. But what's really taken it into the stratosphere is when we started podcasting about a year and a half ago. And as you heard, we're on five platforms now. So we get texts from people all around the country now, and they're supporting the show, and good reason. I mean, first of all, we got a pro-union president. We've got Marty Walsh in the Labor Department. Good things are happening. People are fed up with their jobs. They're quitting. They're going on strike. I believe Meet the Press had a story on Sunday. I think there's either 183, maybe 182 now, because IATSE didn't go on strike. They were supposed to go on strike as of midnight. But there's a lot going on in America. And that being said, we have to prepare for these strikes. If you're not on strike, we want to support the strikers. And I love your blog here, The Do's and Don'ts of Supporting a Strike. This is good information, because I think a lot of people, they want to help those that are on strike. They know they're not being treated fairly, not respected on their jobs, poor pay, lousy benefits. Let's just run down a few here on the show. Public support, let's start with there.
The best way that you can do, really, if you see a picket line in your neighborhood, is just to join that picket line. Let's say you're an hour away or you're 15 minutes away. You got to get together with your friends and neighbors or your organization or your local union, even your kids. It's such a good public example of getting involved in the civic democracy, is joining a picket line, showing a public show of support to address a grievance. I mean, our founding fathers taught us to do that. I mean, we shot redcoats back then, but I mean, now just walking a picket line with your kids telling them we care, we understand. You could be an accountant or a bricklayer or an iron worker or a carpenter, but walking a picket line with the Kellogg's workers or anyone else who's on strike, it just totally uplifts their spirits, lets them know I'm not alone. And you know what? Sometimes you feel like, well, me walking a picket line is not going to make a difference because I'm just a baker. I'm just a grocery store worker. I'm just a housewife or a stay at home dad or I'm just a cop off the job today. Guess what? When you show up, they ask you questions, you uplift them. So that's the number one thing that you can do, is go ahead and walk that picket line. And just a little side note, Flash, if I may.
Sure.
Those of you on strike, when a picture is being taken of you and you're with a person who's showing up, let that person smile, but you're not smiling. Because if you smile, it shows that you're having a good time and your grievance isn't that important. You gotta look a little miserable. You know what I mean? You gotta let people know this freaking sucks, you know? So that's just a little UCOM Media Group free advice to striking workers. So that's the number one thing that you can do, is actually walk the picket line. And then take that picture, share it on social media, and by all means, Flash, you got to tell everyone and anyone who will listen that these workers are on strike, you know? And go over the list with me right now, right? We got Kellogg's on strike. We got John Deere. You have John Deere facilities in the Midwest? I'm sure you do, right? You got IATSE about to shut down Hollywood, which is great. Those greedy jerks, you know? We got nurses in Buffalo, New York, on strike. And right now in Connecticut, we have a Frontier, which is a telecom company. They're working without a contract, and they could strike at any minute. So there are labor actions all across the country.
Yeah. The IATSE situation is one to watch because they have a tentative deal, but I'm hearing that some of the members, and I don't know how many of them, aren't too happy with it because they only got like a $3 an hour raise. And these are folks, some of these folks were working 22-hour days on these movie sets.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I had on my show, I had one of the IATSE leaders on explaining the situation. I mean, these guys are exhausted, and we treat them like second-class citizens. Yeah, we love, you know, we love the actor. You know, that's our royalty. You know, Tom Hanks and all these types, you know, they're just gods to us. They're golden gods, but we forget about the guys behind the scenes making the sets and holding the mics and just making the entire industry work. And we pay them $50,000 a year. Crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. So yes, strike. Yes, I won't be going to the movies. Yes, I will not be patronizing Netflix or Amazon Prime for just a few weeks until you get your deal. And you know what? If it requires a mass labor movement in Hollywood to shut it down, then shut it down.
There you go. All right, Chris, I got to take a quick break. Chris LaGrange, the UConn blog. Do check him out, UConnBlog.com. We're talking about the do's and don'ts of supporting a strike. And like I said, there are many strikes happening right now in America. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at uaw.org.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UConn Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UConnLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Chris LaGrange on behalf of the UConn blog. UConnBlog.com is a website talking about the do's and don'ts of supporting a strike. Help feed and take care of the strikers. And I like this, Chris, because you were talking about the Kellogg's workers. Mm-hmm. They're getting, is it, just over $105 a week? So whatever
In 2021, can you imagine?
Yeah.
$105 a week? I mean, yes, some institutional labor unionists would be like, how can you go on strike with having such a low strike fund? Who who can ever prepare for the boss's greed? I mean, we always do, but sometimes the boss, he gets a little drunk on his own power and his infidelity and his lack of morality. So you don't dump money into your strike fund because we work for Kellogg's, Tony the Tiger. What the hell? We don't have to do this. Well, guess what? They had to do it. So yeah. $105 does not go well. So what you do is go to your local union grocer and put together a pretty nice, you know, care package, like your kids at college, you know?
Right.
Many of your listeners have kids in college. So and don't be cheap, folks. You know, get the good stuff, you know? Get the good stuff. And whether they use it or not, that show, the boss knows that you showed up, you cared so much. You're treating their employees like they're destitute and poor. Well, guess what? They are. That's why they're on strike. And that resonates. That resonates. Another thing too, Flash, and a lot of people don't know this, is that scabs exist. All right. Mm-hmm. Managers become scabs. And they bring in replacement workers. And listen, that's a whole other radio interview. Right?
Right.
I mean, we could go on and on about the theory and concept of why do people cross picket lines? What, everyone's got to take care of their family. Right. No, but we can't make scabs feel comfortable. So if they walk into your deli and you're a deli owner in Cleveland, Ohio, and there's a scab coming in, you know it's a scab because they're probably being followed. That's a CWA model. You just deny service. That's it. Plain and simple. They live at a motel. There's no rooms. Meanwhile, there's 100 vacant rooms. Right. You're at a gas station and they want coffee. You refuse service. There's so many things that the community do to make scab's life a living hell, because we can't let people think that this is something that we're going to allow to happen. And also boycott the product. You know, brother, I mean, listen, I love Frosted Flakes. I mean, I lived on it. As a type 1 diabetic since age 7, it probably saved my life multiple times. But listen, if you have Frosted Flakes in your cabinet, finish the box. But when it's empty, go to a different brand.
Yeah.
Go to Post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. We live in the richest country in the world. You can get another product. And the only way that we can really hurt those who hurt working people is to hit their bottom line, and that's the boycott. And the AFL-CIO has approved a boycott of all Kellogg's products until this situation is over. Even John Deere. I mean, I live in a suburb outside of New York, and I'm not really going to John Deere to buy a tractor, but I'm sure that there's people closer to you in the Midwest who might be in the market to buy a John Deere. Those guys are on strike. No, don't buy a John Deere. Not now.
Yeah, there's 10,000 members of the UAW striking John Deere. And that there's another deal there where they approved a contract, tentative contract, and the membership said, nope, not taking it, not taking it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, workers are frustrated in America right now. They are frustrated in so many different ways. Let's get back to the do's and don'ts here. This is really important, and it's important. You're in the communication business. Let's be honest here.
Yes, sir.
And you want to amplify the strike message. And I bring this up because there was a time in America where you had a labor reporter when newspapers were strong. They had a labor beat, and it was a really important beat. It was the pulse of what's going on with workers. That does not exist anymore. And there's a lot of things that you can do to amplify the message. So let's talk about that. And you do that on UConn Blog. So this is all yours, buddy.
Yeah, UConn Blog exists because labor reporters don't anymore. I mean, even the New York Daily News, which you would think is a very progressive organization, just as progressive as the New York Times, those guys are tough to get at. So that's why UConn Blog exists. That's why we got 1.8 million unique readers a year. And that's why I get message from major labor leaders and politicians all the time to help amplify their message that they're working on to help working people. But let's say you're in, I don't know, what's the paper in Cleveland? slash? Can you fill me in there? What's the name of the paper?
The Plain Dealer. And I have to tell you, they gutted the union there about a year and a half ago. Yeah, they got
it. What's it called? The Plain Dealer?
The Plain Dealer. They even took Cleveland out of the name some years ago. It used to be Cleveland Plain Dealer, and it's just the Plain Dealer. And a bulk of it is, well, cleveland.com is their website. And
Cleveland.com? Yeah.
They had about 300 union members maybe 20 years ago. They were all part of the News Guild. And that dwindled down. They just had a handful, maybe 25 or 30. And they did buyouts a year ago. And they said, okay, we're done with the union here. It was a very sad day. And I download the paper. I still get it because I have to, you know, check to see what's going on. And it's all but maybe 18, 19 pages during the week. That's basically it. Yeah. Yeah.
So those dingbats there, you know. Oh, man, I promise you this there, folks in Ohio. If you have six people send the same letter to the editor supporting the John Deere strike, one of them will eventually make it. I mean, that to them, that's a windfall. They're just underqualified and not good at their work. I mean, let's be honest, it's a dying industry,
print media.
You know, I mean, that's why you and I do podcasts, you know, even live, you're going live like my show does. It's tough. So if you send a letter saying, why am I reading stories about the pillow freaking guy and not about the John Deere strikers, and your letter will make it. And that's what you need to do. You need to be Chris LaGrange everywhere you go. You need to be loud and proud. You need to go to the family get together or the local watering hole or write a letter to the editor. Or if you're really good at writing, write an opinion editorial about supporting working people, and it will make it. I mean, I just recently did an op-ed in support of the IBEW and their mission to stay in the renewable energy game. It wasn't easy, but I got in because no one else is doing it. And you would think, no one cares. It's so hard. It's hard being union. Guess what? Our approval ratings are up more than ever. It's not just because of Flash and Chris LaGrange and Barack Obama and the awful, awful 4 years we had under Donald Trump. It's a mixture of all of that. People want to believe in democracy again. They really do. And these workers striking and the freedom of press and our ability to peacefully assemble and all that red, white, and blue nonsense is all coming together. And unions amplify that. And President Biden, conservatives aren't going to like him just because Trump tells them not to. But he is the most progressive union president we've ever had since FDR, and we need to take advantage of that right now. So when people are like, the world's out of control, we are very much in control. We know exactly what we're doing, and we know how to do it, and our president is supporting us in doing that. And if you work in a job where you think you can't have a union, I heard this, Flash, Dollar General. Do you have that store in your neck of the woods?
Yes,
oh,
we do.
Oh, my God, they're organizing. What the heck? And you know what? And I go to a Dollar General in a resort community in upstate New York, because the wife and I, we bring the kids to we rent cabins and stuff. We're weird like that. And so we'll rent a cabin in the middle of freaking nowhere. And the only thing they got going on is a grocery store and a Dollar General. And these people are realizing their value. Want to know why? Because they're listening to your show and they're reading UConBlog.com.
There you go. The do's and don'ts of supporting a strike. Do check out that article on UConBlog.com. UConBlog.com. Chris, always a pleasure. Let's do this again soon, okay?
Love you, Flash. All right. And Brown, Super Bowl, okay? Keep working at it.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the American Federation of Government Employees and the Center for American Progress. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.